This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
The glass is a little fuller.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The economy did a tiny bit better in the first 3 months of the year than we first thought. Today, the government said GDP grew at a rate of almost 1%. A month ago, that figure was estimated at 0.6%. That doesn't mean we aren't in a recession or heading for one, and Wall Street seems to get that. Very modest gains so far. The Dow is up 10 points to 12,604. The NASDAQ has also added 10, and the S&P 500 is up 2. European shares are down a fraction. The only standout today was Japan's stock market. The Nikkei had its best day in 2 months with a 3% gain. The CEOs of United and U.S. Airways are getting together today for a chat. I'm sure after they talk about what new fees they can charge and what else they can cut out, they'll discuss a merger. Jeremy Hobson has more.
There are the obvious hurdles to talk about, combining different labor unions, different systems and fleets, plus who would run the new company and where would it be headquartered. But Daniel Petrie at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University says in the current environment, United and U.S. Airways don't have much choice.
Do you think the option for these big carriers right now is combine or go out of business?
It's very hard to argue that the status quo can continue.
There's also a feeling that if the airlines are going to consolidate, they'd better do it while President Bush is in office. Here's airline industry analyst Robert Mann.
They want to get this Justice Department involved, which they think they understand, as opposed to the next Justice Department, which they may or may not understand.
And Mann says if the Northwest Delta merger goes through, it would be hard for authorities to say no to United and U.S. Airways. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee begins today in Washington. I love the spelling bee, especially when the kids act like kids.
Sardoodledum.
Sardoodled.
Well, it is a funny word. It means contrived melodrama, something the spelling bee is definitely not. It's the real thing, which is probably why it's become an international business. John Dimsdale has more.
Thanks to an Oscar-nominated documentary, a best-selling novel, a hit Broadway musical, and a feature-length movie, spelling bees are hip, and not just in the U.S.
We have inquiries from China and Taiwan and South Korea and Malaysia.
The director of the National Spelling Bee, Paige Kimball, says there are 22 non-native English speakers among this year's finalists, competing for a $40,000 first-place prize. That includes students from Ghana and South Korea.
The ultimate mark of having mastered the English language is to be able to say that you're a champion speller. And so they want to demonstrate their mastery by participating in spelling bees.
For the third year in a row, the ABC TV network will broadcast Friday's final competition live. And for the international audience, ESPN360.com will stream today's quarterfinals live on their website. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com.
Oil price check for today, $129 a barrel. There's a theory going around that big investors, dubbed index speculators, are a major reason for the price. We visit now with Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Chris, index fund and speculators don't seem like they belong together.
It doesn't seem to go together. It's an oxymoron. And I don't think that this is a major factor behind the price increase. I remember in the 1990s, there was a lot of commentary that it was the equity index funds, the embrace of equity index funds by pension funds and other institutional investors that was driving prices higher, not the fundamentals. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of an impact on prices, but the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and a lot of other people have looked into it pretty closely, and they come away and they say, look, yes, there can be some sort of short-term price movements, but what's really driving prices, it's that old Mr. Supply and Mr. Demand.
But I'm getting emails from people who are saying, you know, I don't really buy the whole supply and demand thing outright, that there are some other factors going on here.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. Now, for example, the index speculators, let's just use that term since I love it. They must be having a little bit of influence on prices. You can't have $1 billion a day going in and not having perhaps some kind of an influence. And, you know, I know we've talked about dollar weakness and fears of inflation driving more money into commodities. But underlying it all in this market, whether it's food, oil, or other commodities, is that the demand, and particularly because of fast growth in the emerging markets, is outrunning supply. There are just some real reasons to believe that it's very difficult for a lot of the producing nations to ratchet up their supply over a long period of time.
Well, for smaller investors, should they be following the lead of these big institutional investors and getting into these index commodities funds?
I think there are two statements that can be made forcefully. First, for most individual investors, it makes sense in today's world to add to the diversification through a commodity index mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, which is another way of buying a commodity index. The second statement is, with prices at the level that they're at, I think the timing is off. So I'd wait.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
After 85 years on Wall Street, investment bank Bear Stearns has just a few minutes left to live. In the next hour, shareholders will vote on the J.P. Morgan buyout. It shouldn't take long. Even though Bear investors are only getting $10 a share, remember, J.P. Morgan's first offer was $2 for a stock that hit $154 last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.